This is a moment when many Chinese citizens are taking pride in their country. China sent a man into space this past week, just as the U.S. and the former Soviet Union once cheered on space programs that demonstrated their prominence in the world. Many Chinese saw their space launch as a great leap upward. The way that Chinese react on the ground may be at least as important as what a Chinese astronaut did in space. And NPR Beijing Bureau Chief Rob Gifford has been following China's development as well as the effort of China's government to stay on top of that development. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Steve.
So, Rob, was everybody in China excited about this space launch?
Well, I think most people in the cities certainly were. This was a real symbol of an emergent China. There's a lot of nationalistic pride in urban people, but there's a lot of people here who don't even know about this space program, probably don't even know what the Shenzhou 5 spacecraft is. And most of those people are in the countryside. There are still 800 million people who live in the countryside here. Having said that, though, the people in the cities mostly know that this happened. And I think it's fair to say most of them are fairly proud. This is a symbol of modernism for China. It's kind of a symbol that China has arrived.
So people see this as a triumph for China, but are they buying it as a triumph for China's Communist Party, the communist rulers?
Well, the Communist Party leaders certainly hope they will. What's happened, especially in the last decade in China, is that the ideological legitimacy of the Communist Party has been eroded. I think it's fair to say that very, very few people believe in communist ideology. I think Karl Marx is dead in China. What you do still have, though, is a Leninist state. You have a one-party state. And so that element of communism still lives on. So you cannot oppose the one-party state. They are talking about moving away from the state-owned enterprises. They already are moving away from state-owned enterprises. They're closing them all down. The private sector is becoming more important than the state sector economically. But politically, you can't challenge the Communist Party. And that has led some people to say that China is actually moving from being a communist state to being a fascist state, whereby the government encourages some kind of private business economically, but still maintains a very, very tight grip on power. And I think there is something in that description. The question is, of course, is the state remaining as powerful in people's lives as before, or is the gradual growth of civil society starting to erode the power of the state?
I'm kind of curious about that because, of course, in the United States and in Europe, large businesses, large private businesses end up having political power. They have influence and they exercise it in many ways. Are businesses becoming politically powerful in any way at this point?
Well, that's another fascinating side of reform here, is that the Communist Party is desperate for businessmen and this new private sector not to develop into a political power base. Of course, this was one of the ways in which Western democracy developed in the cities of sort of medieval Europe. The guilds, the early sort of tradesmen's guilds that emerged as separate power bases. And the Chinese are desperate for that not to happen. So what they're doing is they're allowing entrepreneurs into the party. And that's total anathema to textbook communism. You can't have entrepreneurs and private businessmen in the party, but the party sees these people as a threat, so it co-opts them, and it's trying to say, hey, come into the tent, because it knows that it's safer for the party if the businessmen are in the tent with some kind of job in some little committee in the party, rather than having them organizing outside the tent.
So you've got all these forces going all these different ways in China, and you have the government in the center making these nationalist gestures like the space launch and trying to find some way to hold it all together.
Absolutely. I mean, I do not envy the leaders of the Communist Party. I mean, I sometimes think to myself, I don't think any country ever in the history of the world has gone through the kind of convulsive change that China is going through now in so short a period of time. I mean, it is extraordinary. You've got 150 million migrant workers wandering the country looking for work. You've got the cradle-to-grave economic system that supported people from the day they were born until the day they died crumbling. And the government is having trouble holding it together, and the people, I think, many people are finding it difficult to cope in this transitional phase.
Given everything that's happening in this country right now, Rob, you do have to wonder if the party leadership can keep a lid on it.
You certainly do. And what's happened over the last decade is that the party has made an unspoken deal with the Chinese people. They've said, stay out of politics and you can do anything that you want. I call this my pizza-eating theory of political change in China. What you've got is people able to choose what they do, what they wear, what they eat. And when you start to allow people to choose their pizza toppings, sooner or later, they're going to want to choose their own leader.
NPR's Rob Gifford is in Beijing. Rob, thanks.
Thanks very much, Steve.